we're continuing our series titled Unlearning Religion. And today we're going to focus specifically on two questions. I want to ask these two things to you, and the hope is that we would gain discernment between the two, between the difference between what religion and the world has to offer and where that leads us, and on the other hand, discerning where following Christ leads us. You know, as I think about following Christ, and that's where we're going to focus most of our time, and hopefully as we establish what God intends for us, what Christ intends for us, what he wants, what he actually died for so that we could experience, is to just recognize that he has something that he has done for us. He wants to do something in us, and he wants to do something through us. Now, if you'd use those first letters of each of those words, it comes up with fit. Fit. God has done something for us. It's already done. He wants to do something in us, and then he wants to do something through us, and that's only possible when we follow him. We've talked about the quest and this idea we're on this journey, that we have a destination, but it's not just the joy in the journey, that are actually it's a quest because there's so much meaning and value and purpose found in it. And I don't just mean purpose in career choices or a ministry choice or how we serve. I'm talking about every part of our life. So I wanted to go and look at this question because it highlights both. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters," now this is coming off 11 chapters of God through Paul telling us what he has done for us. And because of all that he's done for us, he says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way we worship him. Don't copy the behaviors of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." A lot in there. Based on what God has done for us. I love how that starts out. He's telling us why we should give our very bodies, our very lives as a living sacrifice. That, you want to know what God intends for you? That's what he intends. And the motivation behind that, this verse answers that question. Why? Why would we give our lives as a living sacrifice? Because all that he has done for us. We could talk the rest of the day, maybe into the week, maybe the whole week, about all that he has done for us, not just died for our sins and forgave us our sins and gave us new life and maybe even eternal life, but he's given us everything we need to follow him. And Paul here is pleading with us. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with myself to let him have my life as a living sacrifice. Why? So I can earn something? So God will love me more? So to hear my prayers a little better, answer my prayers a little more often, so I can keep my salvation? No. The why for all of us in following Christ closely is because he's already done and given us everything we need. And so our challenge is what? If he's already given us everything we need, what's our real challenge then? That's in following him close enough to experience it. To experience the kind of peace. Now, you're saying, I live in the real world. And the second verse says, what? Don't copy the customs and behaviors of the world. You ever been guilty of that? I have. So that's the comparison. So on one hand, we have giving our very lives because what Christ has done for us. Let it be a living sacrifice. This is a daily thing. It's a living one. It's a living sacrifice. It's not a one-time decision, and now I've decided to follow Christ, and I'm just going to follow him. No, it's moment by moment following him. Or on the other hand, copying the customs and behaviors of the world. And that's why those two questions are there. That's why we started discerning what religion and the world has to offer and where that leads us versus what Christ has already done for us and what he's done for us, in us, and through us. So the reality is, I think we all struggle, right? Anybody not a struggler here in their Christian faith, in their Christian life, of actually sacrificing your life? And I mean sacrificing. I think we all do. I know we do. Think about the decisions in our lives. How many decisions do you think you make in a day? A lot, right? Go ahead and put a picture of the maze. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but in the bumper, this is how we were describing this unlearning religion. It's a maze. It's the maze of life. And we're talking about following Christ, and even as I illustrate that, I always walk in a straight line. Isn't that crazy? Our lives are like this maze. There's decisions and choices to make over and over again. And this one is just kind of a big picture. And don't you wish we could see the beginning from the end? Because if I could see the maze from beginning to end, if I took enough time, I could get through there without making any wrong turns. I'm sure you could. But we don't see the maze like that, do we? We do know the one who does. Like, who's the one that knows the beginning from the end? Our Savior does. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. His view is of the beginning and the end. He could lead us through that maze without any wrong turns if we'd follow him. Go ahead and show up the next one, the next maze, because this is a little more like it. Now, I'm going to use this illustration in a minute, but that's somebody going into the maze. Well, the reality is, show the next slide. This is really where we're at. We have no idea where we're at in that maze right now, right? And we have all these decisions that we make, and some are insignificant, like not wearing dress shoes this morning, carrying my own podium. I can finally do that again, which is great. What you wore, what you ate, what you didn't eat. There's even people out there that are going to be coming in for next service are going to make a decision about whether to drink decaf coffee, which doesn't seem like a very good decision. Like, why bother? In fact, it's kind of around the corner. You can't hardly see it, and that's okay. Anyway, most of the decisions we make, they're simple and little, but, you know, there's often in our days where there's a big decision. Whether we're going to follow him or not. A decision that will impact the trajectory of our lives. We don't always even see them coming. They can pop up. And so we need to train ourselves to be listening to him. There's a verse in Isaiah, and I love this, because I often feel like I ask God, and I'm waiting for God to speak, and he doesn't. But this is what he says in Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether it's to the right or to the left. You'll hear him. That's just giving us confidence that he does speak to us as we're making these decisions. And part of the problem is we aren't built in that way. We haven't established that our life is in following Christ. And yeah, if you haven't been following Christ, you're just kind of making your own decisions. This decision that may be really important, you're just going to make it like you did all the other decisions that you've made with all the information you have and using your wisdom and using maybe some good advice. And you're going to be going along in life and not even know it, instead of asking the one who sees the beginning from the end. He knows the path, and he'll speak to you go to the right or go to the left? Now, the dilemma or the question is, if following Christ versus following the customs and the ways of the world or even religion, what has God done for us? He died for us. He gave us new life. He's given us the Holy Spirit that indwells us, lives within us, to lead and to guide, to speak to us. He's that voice, the very voice of Christ in your ears. Go to the right, go to the left. That's what he's describing for us. But we're focusing more on what Christ is going to do in us. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. I see I did put the NIV in there instead of the NLT. Sorry about that. So forbearance is patience and following the Spirit's leading as we follow Christ. You can say it, walking in step with him. We're following his leading. Love, joy, and peace. How about just those three? Can the world or religion offer any of that? No. No. Don't you want to know how much you're loved and to be loved? I can tell you are, but we don't experience that because we aren't walking closely with Christ to see him in the darkness. The song that we were just singing, when it's dark, when it's hard, to be close enough to him that we can have peace. The world can't offer peace. You know why? Because if you're finding peace in your circumstances, religion can't give you peace because it's all circumstantial. It's based on what's happening right now. We know this, right? You ever been having a really good day and then something happened and it's no longer a great day? Why? Your circumstances changed. Sometimes tragically, sometimes just an irritation or a frustration. But when we're following Christ so closely, and our circumstances change around us, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, as we look at Christ, is going to give you peace. Why? Because he hasn't changed one bit. He still loves you completely. He's still in control. The one who loves you completely is still in control. That gives us peace, not the circumstances around us. And this is what we're being offered. This is what he wants to do for you. This is what he wants to do in you, that these things are things that we not only think about, we feel, we experience. And so walking with Christ and following the Spirit's lead, walking in step with the Spirit, that's how we can have fruit of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, the experience of walking in the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, long-suffering, self-control. That this is what will happen when we are following Christ. This is what we'll experience. Don't you want that? All of us would say yes, but are we going to do anything about that? Or are we just going to kind of go about our way? You know that picture of the guy standing in front of the maze? That was me at 19 years old. And I was working on a towboat going up and down the Mississippi River. We got a picture of a towboat. It's not a tugboat. If you say that, you might get hurt. So offensive. a towboat up and down the Mississippi, New Orleans, all the way to St. Paul, Minneapolis. And I was on that boat for a couple of reasons. One, I felt God wanted me to go into missions. No, I didn't feel it. I knew it. And I didn't want to. I'd been on a mission trip, 6 weeks in Liberia. I'd seen too much. It's horrible. Why would I don't want to do that. And I knew that the step of going to college right out of high school was a step towards that. So, being as thoughtful as I am, I thought, I'm not going to do that. I can see where that turn goes. I'm going to do my own thing. Now, I want you to know, I wasn't running from God. I wasn't saying God doesn't exist. In fact, I was witnessing to people around me, my friends. In that time period, I'd been saved a few years, and I was sharing the gospel. I wasn't running from him. I wasn't intentionally just like, no, I don't believe in you anymore. I don't want to follow you. No, I wanted to follow him, just not there. You know, like, don't we think my faith, my choice? I wanted to live out my faith the way I wanted to live out my faith. You ever, yeah, you've been there. And here he's wanting to lead me over here. And you know what? This is our God. This is how good he is. This is what he's done for us. He didn't love me any less because I was saying, not now. And that's all I was saying. I didn't realize how dangerous that saying of not now is. It's deathly. And so here's this whole thing over here. I know God's leading me. I'm doing this. I'm working out there, making a ton of money. Now, why would somebody pay somebody a ton of money for a very low IQ job? Well, it really fit with my superpower when I was young. I could lift heavy things and carry them a long way. You don't have to be very smart. And by the way, one of the first things part of our orientation when you first get hired is they go through how much money they'll give you if you lose a finger, a thumb, a toe, a leg, an arm. This is like orientation. They paid us a lot of money because it's very dangerous. And you're very miserable because you're living on a boat with guys named Cadillac and Mongo. I kid you not. They're a happy bunch in the morning, I can tell you that. 6 hours on, 6 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off, for weeks into months that you're living on that boat. That'll want you to do missions. No, it didn't. That's not what made me want to do missions. That didn't make me willing, but what did are these five things. By going on that boat, I was able to see things from a different perspective. So there's a perspective that you need to have. And then there's a place that you need to go. And in that place, you need to pause. And then you need to pray. And then you need to pursue. Those were the things. And so I'm working on this boat, and the captain was a believer. And he was kind of nutty. If you think militia, you'd picture Russell Timmerman. You're thinking like right, alt-right kind of guy, Pentecostal, but he loved Jesus. And we start doing the Bible study together. And I'm in this place that I'm miserable, and I don't have any of my friends around. It's a new place, and in that new place, I got this perspective. And that perspective was having time and pausing in that moment. Had a lot of time. Didn't have phones, didn't have any of that. You're just on that boat. And thankfully, he had given me a Bible because I didn't even take a Bible when I got on the boat, which he said, what? I got on that boat for a month and a half without a Bible. Ouch. And he gave me one. I had a half a dozen at home. I just didn't bring it. And so we began to study the Bible, began to pause. And pausing isn't just passive, right? It's pausing. It's think of a movie that you pause, and then you go do something else, right? For me, it's usually grab a snack, whatever. But it's also active. So pausing in his presence, right? Just a pause. to pray and to ask him, which way should I go? It can be as simple as when you're talking to someone to pause and ask God for the opportunity to have a spiritual conversation with someone. It's pausing after they tell you they're going through something very difficult. Pausing and saying, can I pray for you? And if they say yes, you pray with them. You pray for them. See, this is one of the things God wants to do through you. You push pause with all the other responsibilities. So our perspective has to change. And honestly, being in a new place, like on a towboat, I grew tremendously. Because I could see things in a different way. My mind was active. I was having to learn everything. Everything was new. I just couldn't be on autopilot like we so often are, where we're comfortable and we just stay in that place and it feels good. It's relaxed. It's nice. Yeah, there's some bumps in the road, but for the most part, I know what's coming. I know how to deal with it. I know how to relate to everybody. I know what my job is. I know how to do it. And that's why I have to go to a place. And it doesn't have to be a boat. It doesn't even have to be a place away from everyone else in the sense of I'm out in wilderness for a month. I'm talking about a few minutes to go and be in God's Word and read Scripture and memorize Scripture and then pause and let Him speak to you and then pray. I learned to pray because my heart was hurting. And I thought all of it was because I was on that boat. No. It's because I wasn't walking so close with Him. I wasn't experiencing His peace and His joy. And I was pursuing everything on my own. Everything that I wanted out of my life. And I wanted to do my faith, my way for my life. And I had dreams. And it didn't include the mission field or being a pastor or anything like that. I just thought someday I'll follow Him like that. Someday I'll do. Someday, not yet. I've got things I want to experience. That's me at the start of that. And if you're younger than a lot of us, and say you're going into college, you're that age, you're 18, 19, you're 23, 24, you're finishing college. The world looks like your oyster, doesn't it? That's an odd saying. You know how bad an oyster tastes? There's a few weird people that like them, but most normal, it's nasty. And sometimes there's like sand in it. What? Why? It has a shell on it that you cannot open with your bare hands for a reason, not to eat it. Oh, the world is my oyster. I've got all these choices. You do, but I'm telling you, a lot of the choices that you're going to be making right now and all of us are going to be making will take you a place you want to go. You don't want to go there. God is leading us this way. And we're going to turn to the left, and He says, no, turn to the right. Follow me. Follow me. We're going to go down a path so far that's a dead end. We're going to experience not joy and peace and love and gentleness and good. We're going to experience horrendous pain and suffering and hardship and difficulties. Those choices that we make every day matter. Pause and pray. Pray. I want to look at just a few verses. I know some of you are fearful of praying, right? You've even been in a small group. People you've been with a long time. Oh. Do you know what praying is? Talking to the person who saved you. Talking to the person who died for you. The only real requirements we have when we pray is simply in Jesus' name. Because that's how we have access to the relationship. That's how we have access to the God of the universe. It was through what Jesus Christ has already done for you. Pray. Yes, pray to yourself. Pray out loud. I pray out loud sometimes when I'm alone. Pray out loud. Don't be fearful. The religion says what about prayer? You got to do it the right way at the right time, and maybe even only certain people can do it. That's not what Scripture teaches. The Spirit is leading us. He wants to stop and pray and ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say here? Lord, give me an opportunity today to love someone, to care for them, to be gentle with them. Lord, give me those opportunities. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7, even if we don't know how to pray, and we should, it says this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds everything and anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you devote yourself to prayer. I was thinking about the idea that when we pray, that we're in God's presence. And in a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to have the worship team come out. Colossians 4, 2 through 4 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. I'm going to stop there. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. We're going through this maze. So many decisions. We can go to Him and pray. And I know how hard that is. I've been convicted of how little I pray. I've been convicted about how little we pray as a church together. We're just talking to the one who died for us. Scripture tells us that we should pray without ceasing. This should be just a normal, constant, ongoing thing. It's not fancy. It's not dressed up. It's just us talking to our Savior. So I want to encourage you to have the perspective that in order to experience the things that God has already done for you, follow Him. Find a place in your life where you can pause. This place that isn't like every other place, and that you don't bring the distractions of the world. You know, this, you've heard the term be alone with God. Be alone with God. Actually, just don't be with other people. Be with Him. Leave your leash or your phone somewhere else. Well, that's where my Bible is. Then get another Bible. We'll give you one. You need a place where you can go and just spend time with Him in His Word and read it. And then pause and listen. Pause and reflect. Pause and reflect on maybe some of the decisions that you've made. And then pray. Pray then. Pray through your day. Pray that you would be willing to follow the Spirit because He is leading. And when He says go to the right, you're not going alone. The Spirit's speaking from within. And Christ is walking with us, pulling us. And if we're following Him, it takes a lot of the guesswork out of what decision to make and when. So think about what He has to offer, what He wants to give you, based on what He's already done for you, what He wants you to experience. And then think about what the world has to offer. Nothing. Nothing good. And then pursue Him. And I think about that time when I was on that boat. I was pursuing Him right in front of me. And He changed my life. Even as I was saying I'm not willing to do that, He wasn't holding that against me. He still loved me just as much. He was still speaking to me. He's pleading with me, Todd, this is what's best for you. I want these great, wonderful things for you. I want you to have this love that you can share with others and joy you can share with others. And I want you to experience peace in ways you never have. And you never will unless you're following me. And during that season, I followed him. And I began to experience the fruit of the Spirit, of being led by the Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit. 9 months later, I surrendered that part. I said, okay, I'll go. And I'd like to say it's all been gravy and grape since then. But he's actually saying to me and to you, yeah, present your life, be willing to go wherever he leads you, but it's daily surrender. It's daily, so it's moment by moment surrendering to him. You want to grow in your faith? You want to fall more in love with Jesus? Surrender to him. Follow the Spirit's leading in your life. You will experience that fruit, that amazing thing of love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, patience, long-suffering, self-control. You will experience those things. That's what he wants for us. Let's follow him. I want to pray because we're going to sing a song. Because all of this can be only done through Jesus' name. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we think of all that you have done for us, and we just praise you, we worship you. Lord, I think of the choices that we're making right now and we'll be making today and this week, that we would find that place to be with you. We would surrender to that, to that leading of just spending a few moments with you, some time. That when we listen, that we'll hear your Spirit and we'll follow him. We'll walk in step with him. Lord, this is in Jesus' name. And that's why we can pray to you, Father. We invoke his name. Lord, we're asking for you, through your Son, that we would experience victory. Lord, you've told us that as we follow you and in step, as we surrender to what you have for us, that we'll experience these amazing things. And that's because of you, Lord Jesus, and all that you've done for us. And we pray this and thank you in the name of Jesus.